Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You know, if you haven't checked out What Chaos yet, you oughta, because we've had all your favorite players on the show. I'm talking Seth Jones, Linus Olmark, Connor Bedard, whoever it may be.
We're live every day on YouTube at noon Eastern, but also available on all podcast platforms, including the one you're listening to right now.
We got guests, and yeah, we're also doing a bit of chit-chat, goofing around, laughing at what makes us laugh in hockey.
So regardless of how deep you are into your hockey fandom, come listen to What Chaos. We'll talk about your favorite team, we'll talk about your least favorite team, and everybody in between, and we're having a ton of fun doing it every single day, Monday through Thursday. It's What Chaos, presented by All City Network.
Welcome in to the DNVR Avalanche Podcast. We got Megan, we got Eric, we got Rudo coming to you live on another Avalanche off day, but you know, interesting developments going on both in Avalanche land and around the world. Yes, Todd Helton better get into the Hall of Fame today. One of my favorite players growing up, even if he's not hockey related. On the hockey related side, first of all, Avs news, Bowen Byram coming off IR, will be back, hopefully playing with the team tomorrow. I think that's the expectation, but if not, certainly the last game before the All-Star break. With Bo back, start here. Is this mean Sam Malinsky's going back to the Eagles, or is there a world where Caleb Jones could pass through waivers here?
You know, it was weird on Monday, I think it was, or Sunday night, the Avs announced a team fit event to media with Jones and Malinsky for this Thursday. And it doesn't mean that that can't change, that one of those two players can't be replaced for this event where they do fitness with children. But I did think it was interesting that those were the two selected, because I think the progress with Byram has anticipated he would return for this Capitals game, which is exciting and huge news.
For sure.
So I don't know what to make of it all, but there was an American League transaction today. The defenseman they had called up, Josh Wesley, is going back to the Utah Grizzlies. So it does still feel like
math's adding up here.
Somebody's coming back to the Eagles to help replenish things. But before I go off on too much of a tangent there, that is not exactly what that means either.
Sure.
They've had Wyatt Ahmet playing as a forward because they've been down.
That's right.
Yeah.
In their forward depth. So could just mean Wyatt Ahmet gets to be a defenseman again.
Lucky him.
So, you know, I don't want to look into my crystal ball too hard here, but I think because of the flexibility with Malinsky, that feels like the most realistic possibility. But also he's the first in line to come back up.
True.
And get consideration if Caleb Jones gets in games here as needed and things aren't looking so great. I think they have no problem calling up Malinsky again. But unfortunately, it does feel still, even with the team fit event and Josh Wesley, like Malinsky might be going back to the Eagles soon.
Yeah.
Well, if you look at it, you always got to – I don't even know what the Avs roster sits at today. Mm-hmm. I don't even know. Like, are they at 23? Are they?
I want to say with Byram, they're at 23. But
you know,
you got to
remember Lekkonen's coming back, and then Poland's obviously been gone. But, right? I mean, yeah, Poland's been sent back.
Yeah, they sent him back.
So I don't even know what it sits at today, but I should have looked. But you always got to remember, too, it's always about cap flexibility, and it's always about asset management, right? And I know we'll talk about it, like, with Ben Myers and the nine games and 30 days, whatever it is. Sometimes easier said than done. And always look at what's ahead. So if you look at what's ahead for the Avalanche, it's a week off.
Yep.
So do the math. Sam Malinsky's getting sent back anytime. Maybe Saturday. You know what I mean? Like, even if he survives, like, the Thursday or Saturday or whatever it is, if he's not the one, then I would say he's going back to Loveland by Saturday after the game, right? Because they don't play for a while, and then you know there's a lot of ways to accumulate some cap, and All the above, right? You don't have to figure out your roster. And he's simple. He doesn't have to clear waivers. So it's very simple to do. You know what I mean? So,
yep. So at this moment, the Avs are listed at 21 of the 23 on their roster, including Byram. However, that does not include Lehkonen. They're currently sitting at 11 forwards, even if you include McDermott.
So you're going to go, so Lecky goes in, that's 22.
Yep.
They might not send anyone down until Saturday. I don't know.
They could. See,
you know,
most teams like to run a 13th forward and a 7th D, but
who knows?
The Avs have also been playing with 11 D lately. So, or 11 forwards. Yeah. Sorry, not D, obviously.
And we'll see. I didn't even look at the Eagles' schedule next week either. So,
I meant to see if they had games coming up. They probably want to get Malinsky in those games.
I mean, it's somewhere, somehow, those guys keep playing. It's very normal. It's every team does that. And that's the sucky thing about being a young guy that doesn't need, or a young player, meaning first year in the league, because he's not that young, right? But you don't have to clear waivers. It makes a big difference in the way you handle the asset.
The way Malinsky came back from his first stint to his second stint, he seemed to have a lot of confidence. So I don't think it harmed him going back to the Eagles and getting big minutes, getting to be the big guy there. I have to imagine this is just a realistic expectation that he is prepared for as well. There's been a lot of people salivating over hoping the Avs are going to do something absolutely crazy, like put McDermott on waivers.
Just not going to happen.
Put Jack Johnson on waivers. And I just want to throw it to the panel on how realistic that is, that the Avs do something that doesn't involve Malinsky or Jones.
Virtually zero, I imagine. Certainly, the Jack Johnson thing is outrageous. There are 25 teams in the NHL that would claim that guy. Let's not kid ourselves. There are a lot of teams that want a Jack Johnson, even with our own frustrations of him. That's a dude with over 1,000 NHL games experience. He's not going on waivers. There is no doubt.
He's a good teammate, good person, serviceable player.
And look, we've talked a lot about how we feel about Curtis McDermott. Eric will defend him, I'm sure.
That's fine.
But the Avs have made it very clear how they feel, and they want Curtis McDermott on their NHL roster. It's just the reality. So
yeah, but I do understand all the other sides too. You know what I mean?
Sure.
You know what I mean. I just think that that's what they're gonna do, and that's what I would do. So it doesn't mean I'm right. You know what I mean? It just means that it's a feeling, and I know I got crap on Flack on the chat earlier in the year, because it's like you can't measure it. I don't know how to explain it. It's just, it's a feeling. It's a different presence that you bring. And I know it's old school hockey and it doesn't really exist anymore, but it does, to a certain extent it does. And I can tell you that Joe, as a player, and yes, it was a different era, loved when there was someone like that around. Just made him feel better, made him play better. And they have a good one in him because he's a good person. He's a hard worker. And yes, it is limited, you know, like when we're talking about pure hockey wise, right?
And honestly, in the time McDermott has gotten this year, he's been perfectly serviceable.
Sure.
He hasn't been a disaster out there. He scored a couple of goals. It's been fine. Do I love the fact that the Avs refuse to use him more than 5 minutes a night and yet keep him on the team? No, but the actual hockey's been okay.
I think that's the toughest part of the sell, is then everyone on that fourth line is also handcuffed to 5 minutes a night, thereabouts. Mm-hmm. And so it's a little bit tough. You don't really have a fourth line at that point. But with the pending return of Arturi Lehkonen, I think that we see a little bit more relief to the forward group that makes this kind of an irrelevant part of the conversation.
Good point.
I wanted to ask, too, is there anything Sam Malinsky could have done to make the Avs keep him?
Yes.
I love it.
Do you want to know?
Yes.
Yeah, this would be his third year in the NHL. There you go. It's called Father Time. There's nothing else. It's nothing else he could do. He's the guy, because it's easy to do. He doesn't have to clear waivers. And that's the best way to keep assets. You never know when you're going to run into injuries or whatever it is that you're needing. So you got to be careful with your roster. And whenever you're the guy, and that's why it's always fun. I don't even know the rules anymore. That's how rusty I am. But, you know, a guy like Malinsky, obviously 25 years old, it's a little different. He has to hit that point way earlier than, let's say, a Bowen Byron, you know, when he started, when he was, what, 19 or whatever it is. So big difference. But yeah, it's father time with him. That's it.
I was going to say the only thing he could do is go full Nancy Kerrigan on Byron or something.
No. Oh, I hate it.
You trip him on the way out to the car. He's like,
Gergiev's allowed to do it.
Yeah. that'd be hilarious. The unfortunate answer there is no. The answer would have to been for him to stick right now is become a completely different archetype of a defenseman. The Evs clearly want a true defensive D on their bottom pairing. And especially with Bowen Byram coming back, that's going to be Jack Johnson. I think even further than that, Caleb Jones fits that archetype more as a direct replacement for Jack Johnson. Malinsky will be in the NHL again. I think he will find a permanent job in the NHL soon. I don't know if it'll be with the Avs.
Do you think he's trade bait, Rudo?
I think he might be.
Oh, I hate it. So
and that's awesome, then. Good on him, because he put himself in that position. And no, good on the...
He did, because I do think, as far as evaluating his performance with the Avs through this point, it's not as if it's been without mistakes, but for the production to be there, we've watched players whose identity is the production come to the NHL and not be able to translate it. And this is something later in the show that Schneekloth talks about, how Malinsky, at 25 years old, so he is not an 18-year-old prospect, has been able to translate his game. And I think that is something that he should pat himself on the back for.
And for Sam, the three of us and AJ, and we were all there in Vegas, right? And we talked about it. In Vegas, the job he had to do was stand out, because you are 25 years old. You're supposed to stand out. You have really nothing to gain, you know, stock value, except hurt yourself. I mean, honestly. So he did do well. And then it was the exhibition game where he was okay. You know what I mean? And then his first call-up, better. And then this time, so now he's better. Just look at the ascension he's had, you know what I mean, since the rookie tournament. So I think it's awesome. I think he's put himself in the right position. And if you look at his development, yes, it's probably quicker and faster than some guys. But he's also 25. There's a big difference. Smart kid, went to college. You know, I'm not saying you need to go to college to be smart. I'm saying he's a smart player. You can see his play, that he's a smart kid off the ice, smart kid on the ice. So obviously it's been a little bit quicker than other guys.
I know we're mostly talking about prospects today, but I do want to flip and talk about Byram as well here. With two games leading into the All-Star break, he will sit at 41 on the season. His career high is 42. It's the most he's ever played in a season. I think there's been some disappointment in Bo this year, with maybe expectations being higher on both ends of the ice for him. Can he get to where the Avs fan base wants him to be? And where do the Avs, the NHL team, want him to be?
I mean, I'll jump in first quickly, you know. I think he's been, and I like him, he's been very average, right, at best this year. He's had some struggles. He's had some good games. He just falls in the middle to below. If I'm going to evaluate his season, he is a big part of this team. Like, if you look at the cup run 2 years ago, he was fantastic. So that's what you're going to compare him to all the time, because why wouldn't you? You have to. This is what he showed you in crucial moments under pressure. He showed you that he can do this, and that's what he is. And then you would think that, you know, he's just going to go like this. Hasn't been quite that way. Now, if you look at the season 2 years ago when they won the Stanley Cup, he was hurt, he was out, he was whatever. So, but what we remember is what? Is those 20 games in the spring, right? And this is what you get when you're on a championship team, when you are on expectations of winning the last game, being the last team standing. This is what the Avalanche are. He's going to be judged on what he can do now, you know. And for me, you're part of a team. So he's been on a little bit of a break here, right? He's had a couple times he's been out of the lineup, and you know, you should be fresh. There's a break coming up next week. I think you owe it to your teammates. And, you know, there's guys like Kale, for example, that have been banged up a little bit this year, right? Play banged up and log in a lot of minutes because Sammy's been out. Bo's been out, you know. So I do believe that this is a key guy coming down the stretch. And he's going to have to roll up his sleeves and pull up his pants and play some big boy hockey, you know, and hopefully starting tomorrow, because you owe it to your teammates to see, you know, to show that, hey, I'm here, I can help out. And there is a level. Now, if he doesn't reach that level, and then the Avs flounder in the playoffs, whatever it is, then you got decisions to make, right? You know what I mean? And say, hey, what do we do here?
Yep.
As we know, because we said about Devontae's, somewhere, somehow, they're related. They're tied in together, right? I mean,
of course.
I don't care what people say. Like,
the reality of that situation is Bone Byram will never be a top pairing D in Colorado.
So right there, they're binded together. And then the contract that Devon got, and then all of a sudden, can you fit Bo Byron? And then how can you? And then is this more important to go get a forward or whatever it is, right? It becomes a math problem and all of the above. But you do the job, then it's out of your hands and you're putting yourself in a good position to be rewarded financially, obviously.
However that may be.
So I think he's a guy that if you're going to put a target on their back, meaning, you know, let's follow this guy here for the Avalanche, he's my number one guy to see how he does here after the break.
It's a real show-me year for Byram. Yeah. Where he's at presently, his points per game pace last year was higher in comparable games. And obviously,
a significant amount, yeah.
You know, he missed time last year, so he should pass what he was able to play. So there is still plenty of season left for Byram to turn this around. But a lot of what they look to for Byram to bring on the second pair is production. Mm-hmm. And I know that he doesn't get to quarterback power play one. And he just hasn't seized the opportunity on the second unit the way that Malinsky did. And I think that these are two players that are not the same, right? Sure. The ceiling for Byram is so different. But I do think that's something that the Avs are looking at, that the production just hasn't been there quite yet for Byram. And there's been some parts of his game playing on his offside to start the year that have challenged him. And I think what the Avs want to see for the rest of this season from Byram is him to look more comfortable, look more confident, because that is a player that generally has an abundance of confidence. And I think that was the difference in Malinsky, being able to translate some of that production is more confidence.
Yep.
And that is something you come to expect from Byram. So I think that's what they're looking for. I don't think they necessarily need him to perform miracles on this season, but in looking what he was able to accomplish last year, he needs to kind of get back to that. And if he is going to contribute, it should be offensively, because he is very gifted in that sense. And that has sort of been what's missing from his game through this point. And that's what I'd like to see him return with when he does get back in the lineup, is the confidence and the ability to put up some points from the back end. The Avs almost use their defense as secondary scoring from their forward group. Like when the depth we're talking about, there's not really a fourth line. Curtis McDermott plays 5 minutes. That's where Bo and Byram can really help this Avs team moving forward.
It's even if you feel like Byram's game hasn't been great this year, it is very clear that Jared Bednar fully trusts that guy. He will play Bo and Byram 23, 24, 25 minutes a night. We've seen that when he's in the lineup. And even if Byram isn't the perfect hockey player in those minutes, it is helping reduce the load on a Kale McCarr, reduce the load on a Devon Taves that we've talked about so often, where you just cannot play those guys 28 minutes every night. So it's important to include factors like that when you're talking about a guy like this coming back in the lineup. How much is he helping the guys above him and ahead of him in the lineup too? So I didn't want to be overly negative, because I don't think Byram has been quite as bad as we've expressed at times.
Yeah.
So just wanted to be fair with that. All right. On that note, we are brought to you by the fantastic folks over at Bet365. You can go join Bet365 with the DNVR365 code today. Put $10 in your account and you get $150 in bonus bets when you bet anything on an NHL. Actually, it's minimum $5. Sorry. But $5 for $150 in bonus bets. It's just a worth it deal. Just go do that and have some fun with $150 in bonus bets. You put $10 in because you take a screenshot of your account, you send it over to promo at thednvr.com, and you get a free DNVR shirt. I can't really see it because I got my hoodie on, but I got a Tornad shirt on today.
Yeah.
You can go support Sammy G.
Represent.
Or any other shirt, whether it's Avs, Nuggets, Broncos, Rockies. Who knows? There might be a Todd Helton Hall of Fame shirt after today that you can go get for free when you sign up with that 365 and the DNVR 365 code. Go get on it today. Of course, you must be 21 or older, physically located in Colorado. And if you or someone you know has a gambling problem, call or text 1-800-GAMBLER today. Then, when you make some money off of Bet365, go hit up High Plains Strains. If you live in northern Colorado,
They are the dispensary for you. They have a ton of amazing deals when you use code DNVR either online or in store, including $80 ounces, Veritas 8s for $25, a bunch of other amazing sponsorship things that I totally know right now for sure. What I do know is they have three different locations, one in Log Lane Village, one... Well, it's just a struggle today, chat. It's the way it goes. One in Garden City and one in Sedgwick. So if you live up there in Northern Colorado, make sure you hit up High Plains Strains. They also have Mammoth cartridges for $15 and Exquisite Extracts for $40. Remember to use that DNVR code, too, to let them know we sent you and get those amazing deals when it comes to High Plains Strains. Their online ordering is the easiest way to go. Second period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast. We do have a Bet365 Never Ordinary Top 5 breaking down the hottest prospects in the Avs system right now. Megan, you put this one together if you want to run us through it.
Absolutely. I had to shout out the player that made his NHL debut.
Naturally.
And he's 24 years old. Wow, those are words. 24 years old. Captain coming out of Western Michigan. Goal scoring matched Adam Fantilli. In his last college season, he made the jump at the end of last year, got in a couple American League games, impressed us at the rookie tournament from what we saw of him, and then he went with just one assist in the American League through this point. He just got his first goal with the Eagles, but it came after his first NHL goal. So I wanted to shout him out because this is just an example of the Avs front office hitting some home runs with the college free agency market that they dipped into.
Yep.
Because you're looking at an Eagles forward group on the whole that has drafted players like Alex Bocage. They're not playing every given night, whereas Jason Pullin is. And even though the production wasn't there, they still turned to him, called him up, and he was able to impact an Avs game where they needed that scoring. And I think it's a great cultural fit. That's a part of the scouting that I think they're doing, too, in bringing about players like this from college. And I just wanted to shout him out. He's on the rise. I think that it's not a player you necessarily want to see get called up terribly often because it means something has happened. Injury has affected the Avs forward group. But I liked what I saw of him in very limited window, right? Like, he was kept on a short leash in his time up with the Avs, but he also seemed to fit pretty well and impact the game in a way that we haven't seen the Martin Kaut, Mikhail Maltsevs of years past in their limited opportunity. And that's what I think made Jason Pullin a standout prospect.
I'm going to steal one of Eric's favorite phrases here.
Yeah.
Pullin is a guy who knows exactly who he is.
There you go.
He knows exactly what he has to do to find a role in the NHL. And it's not be the 30 goal scorer that he was in college. It's go out there, run into stuff, be physical, do things like forecheck. And then if you can add a goal or two on top, that's how you get people to notice you and you say, hey, maybe we give this guy a second look down the line. But he also understands that the reality is, especially on a team like the Avalanche, he's going to play a bottom six role. So I really, really liked his time with the Avs. I think of the range of forward call-ups we've seen this season, he has probably fit the best with, you know, the Pavel only got one game, and I thought he fit well, too, but we really didn't get to see enough of him. But you look at guys like Olausen, you look at guys like Tufte, are they maybe higher skilled? Do they have more potentials to their game? Maybe. But they also don't do some of the things that you need to do in the NHL as a bottom six player. So that's where I thought Pullin really fit with the Avs.
Okay, I'm going to give him even higher praises.
I love it.
So this is a guy... I'm going to put my scouting hat on, management, you know, like, so we go to rookie camp. Oh, I like him. Right. And as you should. And to Megan's point there, you know, he scored 30 some goals last year in college hockey. He's 24 years old, you know? So people are like, oh God, he's a goal scorer. No. He's not. It's a different league. It's like the American Hockey League is a different league than the NHL. College is a different league. It's when you're looking at him now, the Avs people, Battaglia and those guys are going to watch him last year. Can he fit into our lineup for whatever, call it 40 games, a season, who knows, 20 games? What can he bring? He's got that bite. If something happens and he gets the puck in front, then we just saw it. He can shoot the puck, he can score. And that's what differentiates him, you know, with maybe other college free agents. And Diaz clearly were attacking last year guys like that, right? Pavel, big scrap last night. Was it two nights ago? Yeah, nice guy. I mean, I'm just saying, he's getting out of his comfort zone. I'm not for violence, you know.
Yes,
that.
You are.
I'm just saying. It just, you know, it's not something you do in college. It's not. He's trying to show what he can do. So they get back to Poland, and yeah, he's got just as many goals as Fantilli. Whatever. Fantilli is a 17-year-old kid. You know, you're talking about 7 years difference between Poland and guys like, it's crazy. It's like Celebrini this year. Like, oh my God, this kid's 17 years old. He's dominating college hockey. It's unreal. That's why those guys are top two or top pick overall. I mean, so Poland, to get back to him, and I'll get back to the Avs fourth line. We were talking about 10 minutes ago. The Avs fourth line is different than some teams, other teams. They got MacKinnon, they got Rantanen. Those guys are going to play 25-plus minutes.
Yep.
I don't care if they get the best fourth line. All of a sudden, these guys are playing under 20 minutes. They're going to be knocking on the door and be like, hey, you know, this is not how we do it. You know, this is not me, Nate MacKinnon, do it. I don't play 19 minutes. You know what I mean? Like,
it's 29 on my back is the number of minutes.
It's not going to work. So the Avs are built a different way. They're built top heavy. I agree. And that's what's going to make them win. Just remember that. It's like it made them win. Yes, they had some depth 2 years ago. We'll talk about the cadre and everything. But what I'm saying is Poland's a perfect fit for me. Ask me if I care that he had 0 points in the American Hockey League before. No, zero. Because I know that he can get called up and play 5 minutes at best and make a difference in those 5 minutes, whether by being physical or by putting the puck in the net because he does have that touch. So for me, it's a great signing. I don't care that he had bagels in the American League before. Mm-hmm. It really doesn't matter because a guy like that, you can take him out of there and put him in the Avs lineup, and then he can help out positively. Not going to dominate because he's going to play 5 minutes, but he can help out like we saw positively. I don't think this is the last time we see him.
I think it's a good point. And, you know, it depends on the player. Obviously, if you're looking at a guy like an Oscar Olausson, you want that dude to score in the AHL. You want him to show off his shot and do some of those things. But when you're looking at a guy that you project into your bottom six, you're less looking at production and more looking at things like, okay, how does he fit in our systems? Can he execute on both ends of the ice? What types of areas will this guy help our team succeed in? It doesn't necessarily have to be production.
Yeah, he missed some time for injury, too. And so I don't think the lack of production was of any concern to anybody, just getting him healthy. And I like that they gave him a chance because there was a reason they brought him here in the first place and they wanted to see it realized.
Good fit.
On to number four.
All right. So.
Here we go.
You know, I don't think his stats jump off the page at you at this point in the year, but he missed about 5 weeks with a lower body injury. And the Eagles had a real goaltending problem this year. Arvid Holm's
really bad.
Wasn't quite what they expected him to be. And in some ways, Trent Miner, I've always sort of rallied behind him. He has had opportunity then to get in front of Arvid Holm for the backup position, which is great for Trent Miner, but bad for the Eagles. Eustace Onnen is the clear starter, and you can see a difference in how the team plays in front of him. They are just so much more comfortable and confident with Eustace in net, and it hasn't been a bad year for him. There's been, you know, injuries that the Eagles have battled, though, so defensively, Eustace has faced some of the most shots of any AHL goaltender, despite having played some of the fewest games. And so there's definitely a lot of traffic in front of his net. But I think that the randomness of the American League, like in facing that high volume, is actually really great to prepare him for the NHL, where I think it's going to be a lot more structured in front of him. And he still has a 906. Like Eustace Onnen has played great for them, especially coming back from injury. Just, you know, they sweep this last weekend and he's in that second game. There's just so much more confidence with him in net. I know the Ottawa game wasn't necessarily the best showing for him, but I think the plan, had he not been injured, was to see him sooner than we did. And I'm excited to see what he makes of the back half of this year, because I don't doubt that we would see him get maybe another start with the Avs.
It's really a very simple conversation for me. The Avs have three goalies with an NHL start this year. One of them has a save percentage above 900. Well, it's exactly 900. And that's Eustace Onnen. The other two guys, their save percentage starts with an 8. Now, is Eustace Onnen's sample size extremely small? Yes. But at the same time, if he's got the best stats of the three, why not give him more starts? Why not give him more opportunities? Certainly, at least as a backup in the NHL.
the whole Anandon situation really baffles me. And I get that the injury was particularly unfortunately timed for him, but this is a guy you drafted in the third round. This is a guy that you have developed as the Avalanche for multiple years now. And for some reason, they just can't seem to bring themselves to give him a real opportunity in the NHL. And I just don't understand it.
I'm a big fan. I think circumstances brought it to where we are today. I do believe the goal was to send him down, make him get some starts, you know, and then at some point bring him back up. Obviously the injury slowed things down. I think where the Avs are in an organization, meaning they want to be at the dance, not only be at the dance, but they want to be crown champions of the dance, right? You know what I mean? They just want to have the crown.
Yep.
Prom queen, whatever you want to call that. What is it called? I didn't go to prom.
Prom king queen's
queen.
Good, yeah.
Prom king, prom queen, whatever it is. They want to have the spotlight on them when it's all said and done. And I do believe they have the team, and I think we all do believe that they have the team to do it. As it comes down to Eustace, I think it's just, here's my take on him. I do believe he's going to play in the NHL for years to come. Might not be here. I don't know. All of a sudden, there's waivers, right? Is it next year waivers? I'm assuming next year's waivers.
I think it
waivers.
Is next year. Yeah.
Should be next
year. I'm just saying, at some point, like, you know what I mean? Like,
it's now or never next
year,
yeah.
Basically. So I do, I like him. I like the size, and I like the way his technique is. Has he gotten a lot of starts this year, enough starts for me to feel comfortable as an organization to say, we're going to the dance and to be crowned, you know, king and queen? Is this the guy, if some happened, as we saw 2 years ago with Frankie going in there multiple times to save the day, right? I don't feel that they're comfortable with the answer of being Eustace. Does that mean that they've given up on him? No, but I do believe that they will go and get help to second Georgiev. I don't think they're going to trade Georgiev. I think they're going to go get help, and I think this will be a play they do here shortly coming up.
See, this is where I'm not on board. From the trade aspect of a backup goalie,
no.
The one situation where I understand it, okay, you go out and get a Marc-Andre Fleury. You get a veteran guy who can kind of be a mentor to Georgiev, help him on the mental side. That I understand. But if you're going out and just getting random backup goalie because he plays a little bit better, why not just play Eustace the rest of the year?
Oh, no, no, no. Yeah. I'm with you. When I say they're going to go get, for me, they're going to go get a veteran presence. And
sure.
And that's
you
what
can
I'm
convince
saying.
Me of that.
I'm saying that I would have, since day one, and you guys know that, I would have had Eustace there since day one. That was me. I would have had him. He would have his 20, 25 starts, would have been in a better position to get to the dance with the team. But it didn't happen.
The thing is, that's the biggest argument I see for going out and getting a backup is people are saying Georgiev needs more rest. And fair enough. He's played a billion games. He's on pace to play like 65 or something ridiculous this year. Just play your backup. Just play Eustace. Or if you prefer pros, just play pros without. The Avs have proven they can just outscore most of their problems in this regular season. Yeah. It's fine. If you lose a handful of games with your backup in net, it's fine. Just play him. I don't think it's that complicated. I don't think you need to overcomplicate this by going out and saying, well, we need a backup that plays. No, just play the guys you have, particularly Anandon, who you as an organization need to figure out what you're doing.
Right.
With.
And soon.
Yeah.
I think, that, unfortunately, I agree with you. I think we're saying the same thing, you and I, and to a certain extent, Megan, and I know AJ says the same thing. So, but what I'm saying is, Father Time, it is what it is. Now you are in February coming up, and this is where you're at. And I don't think they're comfortable going in there having, you know, what do you play? Two starts this year so far? I mean, so I'm just saying.
One in the NHL.
Just one in the NHL. Yeah. Oh, yeah, sorry, that's right. My God, I gave him one more. Just one
I
in
hope
the
he
NHL.
Gets one
which
more.
Is, you're right. That's a
you know what I mean? It's 1-1, yeah. And that's where you're at. So I do believe they'd feel more comfortable with three guys. So, okay, let's say they're sitting in a round table and they're like, are we comfortable with them? And they're like, yeah, I'm comfortable as a three. I'm comfortable as a three. I'm comfortable as a three. Then here's your answer. And then you got to go get a number two that's got experience. And by the way, they're not trading Georgiev and they're not making a switch at goalie.
No,
you know?
The starter is just not.
Georgiev, I'm a fan. You guys are fans. He hasn't really found his groove. And is he tired? Whatever it is, I don't know. I'm against you guys. I don't believe in that. I think, man, it's not that bad. But and that's the whole league is against that the way it used to be, which I'm not sure where it changed. And somebody asked John Tortorella the other day that, and he was like, I don't know. I think he goes, I think we're looking for ways to change it. Like, I don't know why, but anyway, I do believe that now. I think that's why they'll go get a number two, you know, because, and when I say a number two is use, forget about Fleury for a second, like a Jake Allen. Okay, great. You just a guy that's got experience, a guy that's playing the playoffs, that can guide Georgiev, that can, just like a Jonathan Quick last year helped out Hayden Hill and those guys. I mean, they went through three goalies. Before, I mean, two goalies before Hayden Hill. So, and Quick never played a game, but was there and was a big presence and just helping calm things down.
Number three?
Number three, Ben Myers. He has spent some time up with the Avs this year. He's also dealt with minor injuries, so he's missed a little bit of time, but 19 points in 25 games, 4 goals, 5 assists in the last 10. He's winning draws. He's playing as a center up there in Loveland. Obviously, when he's come to the Avs, sometimes he gets put on wing. But the production has started to come through for him, and something we can talk about after the list is the overall lack of goal scoring for the Eagles, especially coming out of the new year. So Ben Myers has really helped to turn it around for the Eagles, get them back in the win column with some production that they were desperately needing.
This is my real trade bait guy for the Avs prospect core. I think he's absolutely good enough to be playing in the NHL right now. Personally, there are multiple guys in the Avs lineup I would have him playing right now over. I think there are a bunch of teams that would be very interested in him. Is he going to be a major piece of a trade? No. But he could be the guy that gets it over the line where they, you can say, hey, we'll give you a first, we'll give you this prospect, and we'll give you a Ben Myers that can play in your NHL lineup today. For whatever reason, the Avs just don't seem to want to make room for him in the NHL. They prefer Freddie Olofsson. They seem to prefer Joel Kiviranta over him. Fine. Fair enough. If that's how the Avs feel about him, go get value out of that asset because he's too good to stay in the AHL. He's just too good.
Yeah, fair point. And you guys like him more than I do. I'm almost at the point where I call that a tweener. You know what I mean? It's too good for the American League.
That's Tufty for me more than Myers.
Yeah, exactly. No, I'm not arguing, but you know the term I'm talking about.
Yeah.
I agree. I would agree that Tufty is a tweener. Myers is, I'm almost at the point to say, because I haven't seen enough. You know what I mean? Like, and unfortunately, like Malinsky, with this is where, like you call him, Benjamin's at. You know what I mean? Like, so where Ben's at is he already cleared waivers at the start of the year, correct? I'm just saying, right? I mean,
did he?
Well, yeah, he had to if he went in the minors.
No, because he's just about to get his waivers.
As long as he doesn't play two more games.
Awesome. That's so now because he reached a number, now he needs waiver status. Unfortunately, and that's why people get all mad, like, who cares about, like, well, who cares until you work for the team and then you're trying to keep assets and then you're trying to have asset management, and sometimes it's at the detriment of the player. It is, and this is a clear case of he could have been here this past week and been on that road trip, but two parts to this. Managers are on the phone every day with all managers around the league. So you know, if you haven't put him through waivers, it's because there is some sort of, maybe a little bit of level of interest that somebody like Rudo just said.
I'm confident he'll get claimed.
That's what I'm saying. So, or else you would just put him through, right? Because it's like, hey, we've called third. And first of all, you know what? As much as you want asset management, also you don't want to, there's feelings in there too. You don't want to just retain someone and, you know, at a detriment of their career and everything. So somewhere, somehow, there is a little bit. Like, I think Steve Yzerman is one of the best at that. And I think the Avalanche are good like that way. I don't think they would ever. But right now, the situation they were in with a little bit of thin up front, you don't want to lose him because, quite frankly, they think they're going to lose him, like you said, because they would have put him through. And then sometimes you're like, you know what, so be it. If he gets claimed, then awesome, because no one's giving me an asset for him. They're kind of waiting. You know what I mean? Because they're not stupid. They're like, well, you're a 9 games. People do the math. I mean, you got teams on every team looks at people's rosters and their depth charts, and you know where everything's at. So you never get caught like red hand, like on the phone, and all of a sudden like put your pants down, like, oh what? Oh, okay. You know, everyone knows where someone is, you know, like, for example, Ben, where he's at with those nine games, you know what I mean? So it's not like a surprise to anyone. So, oh, I know why you're calling me. I'll just wait. You know what I mean? So then you're not giving them the asset back, but we'll see. Rosters are going to start moving up here with the trade deadline and everything. So things will have to be done. We'll see. Do I think you're right? Do I think he's better than a couple guys? Yeah, I'm not a Kiviranta fan. So for me, he's better than Joel Kiviranta. But unfortunately, that's where he's at right now in his development, where it's just they have a little bit of leverage on him, you know, for a little bit more time, right? A little bit more time. And I think if they're, like, you're right, maybe would he be part of a package deal with someone that had interest coming out of college, you know what I mean? So usually you go back to that, see who wanted to sign him, who was in the running, and then usually it's you remember who it is, you know, and then
it ends up being an extra piece that gets the deal done.
Yeah, for sure. There's some value there for sure.
He's a good Minnesota boy.
Yeah,
and I have a lot of confidence that was a team that wanted him out of college.
Math, come on down.
Yeah. So Marc-Andre Fleury for Ben Myers, one for one.
Make it happen. I'm here for it.
No, it's interesting. Like, he will continue to accrue trade bait value.
Yep.
As long as he continues to succeed with the Eagles and they need him.
And maybe there's a world where he gets through this year and he's still in the Avs organization and that spot opens up next season and he becomes their 4C or whatever it ends up being. I'm not saying they absolutely have to trade him. But.
Right.
But on top of it, I do think the Avs are going to upgrade at the 4C position before the trade deadline.
A fair point.
It has nothing to do with Ben Myers. Yep. You know what I mean?
And that how the deadline plays out, I do really think will have a pretty big impact on what Myers' path to a permanent NHL job looks like.
Sure.
I agree. It exists right now somewhere, and the Avs are just in a tough position because it's not here right now.
Yep. All right. Number two.
This one is a little bit controversial.
Ah.
But I really wanted to highlight, to be clear, he's on an American League contract, 21 years old, undrafted player. The Eagles signed him to an American League contract, give him a chance, and he was an intriguing player in Dev Camp rookie tournament because of what he is, but he has really matured and ascended into a full-time professional with the Eagles, despite being a relatively young player. You know, he's cracked the top 50 in rookie scoring, 16 points in 34 games, and let's see, 4 goals, 3 assists in the last 10, his first 3-point night of his professional career recently. He would be a player to keep an eye on because they are using him as a true center, which, you know, I know people are banging the table for Foodie to be utilized as one. That has just not been how his pro career has played out. But Ivan, he's starting to win more draws too. That was something we were looking for in the rookie tournament.
Yep.
And he's getting a lot smarter than at the faceoff dot. And the scoring's coming for him. You know, I think these are all encouraging things that would give the Avs some reason to consider bringing him on in the organization, taking on that contract.
It's being realistic. The path for him is a lot longer than some of these other guys. Yep. That's just the reality of it. But as I always say, you can only play in the situation you're in. Mm-hmm. And having a 7 points in 10 game stretch is a jumping off point to a guy who he needs to prove to an NHL team that he's worth a contract for starters. One 10-game stretch isn't going to do that, but you have to start with a 10-game stretch and then do another 10-game stretch and then do another 10-game stretch. And I think there's a lot of things to like in his game. I think he's another one of those guys who understands who he is and what he has to do to have a career in hockey, let alone be an NHLer. Can he get there? Yeah, I think he can. Will it be this year? No. Will it be next year? Probably not. But at the end of next year, you're probably looking at this guy and saying, has he done enough to get an NHL deal somewhere? Maybe if some team really likes him, they do it before that. I give a lot of credit to the Avalanche organization, and including the Colorado Eagles scouting staff, for going out and finding guys like this. They've been pretty good at consistently going out and getting guys that can be successful AHLers, and maybe there's more there. You look at someone like a Wyatt Amott. You look at some of these other depth guys that they've gone out and gotten over the years, Nate Klerman's and beyond, both Avalanche drafting Klerman, a little bit of a different situation. But the Avs have done a really good job of essentially picking lotto tickets with guys like this. Occasionally, some of them are bound to hit.
To give them credit, some of the veteran players that they brought on board to help the forward group this year have experienced injury.
Mm-hmm.
And for Ivan then to seize the opportunity that has been given to him with players like Peter Holland out of the lineup, Spencer Smallman at points. Yep. It has been important then because Alex Bocage is not taking that job. Ivan has surpassed him in play, and that is a player that they invested a draft pick in, more simply.
He has a do not draft well in the third round, man.
Cal Burke has missed some time for personal reasons. So a lot of the guys that they thought would be maybe big guns to help with offense haven't all been available to them. Chris Wagner has only recently joined the Eagles forward group. So I think it's cool, too, to see Ivan take advantage of that opportunity.
And that's, we talked about this for the last 30 minutes. It's where you are in your development. So if you take Ivan, different than Jason Poland that we just talked about. Jason Poland, college kid, 24 years old. If you don't give him the NHL deal, probably gets one from a different organization.
Sure.
Take Sandlin, doesn't get the NHL deal, but even though he's in the same situation as Poland, he's probably not as far development-wise as Poland is, so he gets the Ivan deal, which is an American League deal. Ivan comes out of junior hockey. They see some. It's a late development, like late bloomer. Hey, let's take a chance on this guy. Kid has to be willing to do it. The agent has to be willing to do it. Team has to be willing to do it. Let's have a happy marriage here. You're on a two-way. This is where you're going to be this year and maybe next year. Again, he's 21 years old. You know, you're not there yet like those other guys. And you have to treat it. I always say to guys in the American League, because I've been there, you want to compete with your fellow, I want to say classmate, but teammate. But at some point, you can't compare yourself because everybody's in different situations. And I think Sandlin, different situation, more like Ivan. And then Steinberg, more like Poland, right? Where it's, okay, he's a draft pick. Are we signing him, not signing him? You decide to sign him because, yeah, he's got a little bit of bite, a little bit of, kind of like Poland. He can score. You know, maybe he is that guy, but then Poland, I'll beat him from what they saw since Vegas. You know what I mean? And then all of a sudden, who gets the call? It's that. And that's what's called having depth and having options and having different types of paintings down there. Not all the same. Oscar Olofsson is different. I think he's by himself in his own painting. You know what I mean? I think he's just a different type of player than the guys we were just talking about, you know? And sometimes that's good. You know what I mean? Because you're the option when something goes down and you're going to be the guy called upon where if they need a guy for 5 minutes, maybe there's 3-4 guys in the same boat where Olofsson's different. You know what I mean? Like I can't see Olofsson play 5 minutes a night. I don't think he can do it.
Won't be effective.
Yeah. You're just having a jersey. So it's not going to work. So that's where I'm at with.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
It's a good Ivan, segue Ivan. Yep. To mention Oscar Olofsson because the first person on this list is actually still in juniors. The same team that Oscar Olofsson played for. Cal Ritchie has had an impressive January that I just need to talk about it. I'm not going to start getting ahead of myself that this has some sort of this year implications for Cal Ritchie. He should be scoring at the clip that he is in juniors, and it's 20 points in 10 games for Cal Ritchie. He's been extremely productive for the Oshawa Gens, and he's a first-round pick. He should be dominating juniors, and he is. It's great to see. Obviously, we didn't get to see much of him because he was nursing an injury, so to see him return to form and seem to be, like, he's not even a shadow of the player he was. He might be better than he was. So he's not only come back from injury, he's come back seemingly 100% healthy and producing better than ever.
Yeah, I was very skeptical of Ritchie as a first-round pick when the Avs drafted him. I felt like he was a guy that I don't know if he really did anything at an elite level. But we said at the time, hey, if he comes back from this shoulder injury that he'd been playing through all of last year and he puts up big numbers and he plays like a guy who dominates that league, okay, you can start to see it. And that's exactly what he's done. He's, since his return this year, he has been nothing short of spectacular for Oshawa. Truly, on all phases of the ice, a dominant hockey player in that league. Now, does that mean he's ready for professional hockey? No, not necessarily. He still is playing against kids that are his own age. He hasn't had the opportunity to play against men. It's not like the NCAA where you play against some older guys. But for that league, I don't know that you can ask him to do anything more than he's done this year.
I agree. I think it's the best way you can put it. He's doing what he's been asked to do. And he's at the level where the Avs, for one, expected him to be at. That's why they took him in that spot. You know, because everybody, I mean, you talked about it saying, you know, if he becomes what he is now, then it's like, all right, that's what they saw. Then all right. Then right now it's a good pick and it's on pace to become something.
Yep.
It is kids game. It's a kids game, junior hockey. And then now it's, we'll see how he does next year and then where he's at in his development. And some guys take longer and then some guys end up in the American League. And I love the American League. I'll say it again. I think it's awesome. I wish everybody spent time down there at least 20, 30 games. I think, I don't care if you're a first round pick or it's good. It's good for you. It's good for your development. But now you're seeing it with Olofsson where this is his third year down there.
Yeah.
I know he's European. It's a little different, you know, but it is his third season, correct?
It is. I think his first year, why do I feel like he didn't play a full complete year?
Yeah. Did he? I think his first year might have burned.
I remember because he came after Oshawa's was out of the playoffs and he got in some games.
So last year, this year. Here's what I'm going to say about him. Now it's the dog days of February and it can be tough mentally. Like I'm not getting the call up. What does he have? One game this year with the big team? Yeah. Remember you got called. That
just
was one.
Yeah, yeah. It's just one.
And then you're looking around and guys are getting called up. And I'll tell you one thing. I said it. The hardest thing to do is not compare yourself. So you're like, I'm not getting the call. What's going on? It's hard. And you know, and it's becomes tough mentally. And I think that's where you separate a little bit. The ones that are made to do this profession, you know what I mean? Because it can be tough at times, you know what I mean? And not give up and really feel like it's the bottom of the barrel mentally, but then still find a way to get out of it and find the ways to get you out of it with some help from agents, family members, teammates, guys that have been there, development guys, you know what I mean? I think it's important to really soak it all in and really get out of it and get back to the next step of your ascension.
Yeah, just for the question from Brady here, Cal Ritchie would not qualify to go to the AHL next year. He's just a bit too young. He can still play on an ATO, both the end of this season and the end of next season. He can sign fully, but he cannot be full-time in the AHL next year as he will only be 19 in the CBA with the CHL means that he's not old enough.
Euros can go, and I think that's a stupid rule. I really think it's a stupid rule.
We're all in agreement on that, I think. There are always players that should be in the AHL that aren't because of it. But it is what it is.
But I get that there's rules. I get it.
I think realistically, I don't see Ritchie making the Avs next year either, for the record.
No. I mean, Oscar Lawson's production at that level wasn't the same, but it also wasn't so bad. And it's just, I think that'd be too big of a risk to take. Oscar isn't having a bad year. He's getting a lot of power play time, playing alongside Ben Myers, oftentimes on a line. I think 16 points in 35 games, not bad, just not strong enough to stand out from the pack and make this top five list.
Yep. All right, that was our bet. 3-6-5, never ordinary top five. Thank you, Megan, for doing that. That was actually awesome. I'm really glad we had that conversation. But we are brought to you by Breckenridge Brewery, the official beer of DNVR. So maybe pour one out for your favorite prospect or drink one to feel less sad when they trade Ben Myers, something like that. I don't know. Go get yourself some Breck Brew anywhere in the 50 United States. Use the Breck Beer Locator online at breckbrew.com. Then crack your beer, sit down on the couch, and watch yourself some Fubo TV. The easiest way to get your Colorado sports. You can get all of them with Fubo TV. Whether it be Broncos, Nuggets, Avs, Rockies, you name it. Also, pretty soon you might be able to get DNVR on there. I'm just saying, I'm happening.
FuboTV.com/DNVR. You get 15% off your first month of Fubo Pro. Go check them out. Go get with them. They have over 1,000 hours of DVR time that comes included with it. There is a free trial. There's no permanent subscriptions. You're not locked into anything. You can cancel at any time. Super easy to use with Fubo to get over 140 channels of live TV, sports, movies, television shows, news, you name it. Go check them out. Again, FuboTV.com/DNVR. Third period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast. We'll be pretty quick here because we have run a little bit long, but that is okay. Looking at the Avalanche lineup, looking at the prospects that they have, realistically, who do you guys think will be the next prospect to have a significant impact on the Avalanche lineup? You're not allowed to say Sam Molinsky again.
go ahead. I'm going to give you the floor there. Let me think.
It's a genuine tough question because I think it's going to be hard to find room for any prospects down the stretch of this season.
Right. I think the most realistic, right, and this is in the immediate.
In the kind of, as soon as possible, which could be as soon as next year, to be honest with you.
It could be as soon as next year. Can they make an impact through trade? Like their return.
Sure, I'll allow it.
Usher something. Okay. I don't like my answer. It's Eustace on it.
Oh, yeah, okay, fair.
That's going to be mine.
Sean Pierce, well, yeah, you would take you back.
I don't think he can make an impact now.
I haven't heard that name. Yeah. That's not a name.
You brought up trade impact.
You're right, I did. You
know? I think Annan is definitely a fair one, though.
I think it's an off-season thing, too. I don't think they need to make any decisions right now. But if there isn't a future plan that can utilize him, they've invested a lot of resources in his development, and I think it has been better year by year. He could fetch an interesting return, but I'd hate to see it, but it could be Eustace. That would be my money.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing about trades, right? None of us are here saying, oh, we want this guy to get traded. It's just the reality of the business is you have to give up something of value to get something of value. So putting a Ben Myers in a trade isn't, oh, I hate him, I want him gone. It's, hey, this guy has value. He can get you something if you aren't going to use him. That's where I'm at with it. I think the Avs are going to trade a genuine prospect at this trade deadline. I don't know who it'll be. I think Sean Behrens could be the guy.
Yeah.
Because Molinsky.
Because Molinsky has more or less taken that job. Honestly, and maybe it ends up being Molinsky. I don't know. I'm not in the Avs front office. But look at where the Avs won the cup. What did they trade? They trade Justin Barron.
Drew Helison.
And they trade Drew Helison. They trade two high-end defensive prospects.
And it kind of worked for them.
It worked out okay. Obviously, they traded first-round picks and other stuff in there, too. But Maybe that's the recipe. Maybe the Avs could learn something from that. Maybe you painfully let go of a Sean Behrens. Maybe it's Mikhail Guliev, and I hate the trade, but maybe that's what it is.
No.
That's might be the world you have to live in if you want to make the big splashy move and go out and get someone like an Elias Lindholm. Maybe that's what it's going to take.
What do you think, Eric?
Well, that's, you know, again, to better yourself, then that's the nature of the beast. You have to give up some. So,
yep.
The beauty of it is that I do believe they have things to get. And it's nothing against Sean Behrens. It just tells me that that's a good pick.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Right? And that means that the staff's doing a good job. That means that the player's doing a good job. That means the university, which happens to be DU, boo-hoo, Megan, and then is doing a good job developing him. And now, like we saw the last couple of years, like you said, Ellison and, you know, Barron and all that stuff, then you're in a position to use those assets to make you better, to try to get that ring, right? I mean, that's just all of a sudden the Avs will never look back and the 2022 cup and say, yeah, but you know, Drew Helison left, you know. I mean, no one's going to talk about that.
Yeah.
They're going to talk about the banners and
and
it's no offense to Drew Helison. It's just the nature of the beast. You have to put yourself in a position to restock your your cupboards a little bit, you know, sometimes because you do get depleted. And, you know, and then I think the Avs, for some reason this year, I think they're in a good position to add compared to last year. And I do believe they will do so. And it will come at the expense of some prospects that are well-liked by, you know, all of us here, quite frankly.
I mean, or, and I don't really count him as a prospect, but Nikolai Kovalenko.
Yeah.
Maybe he fills that role.
Yeah.
Obviously, he doesn't play center, but.
No, I agree. I think, you know, to answer the question of an actual player affecting the Avs through play and not trade.
Yeah.
Kovalenko is a great, you know, a great answer there. I know he's dealt with some injury stuff. Yes. It's why he didn't make this list. It's just because he has not been as active in this January. Yep. But I think he's a player that stands the best chance of impacting the Avs in the immediate.
He's also 24, been playing in a top-end professional league for years. Does he really count as a prospect?
And we talk about him every podcast.
That too.
There you go. So it's not a surprise, you know. I can't wait to see this dude.
He's going to be terrible and everyone else. I hope he's not.
I played against his dad, so his dad was a tank. Yep. Oh, my God.
Helped the Avs get Patrick Waugh, too. So.
Yeah, there you go. You helped to get Patrick Waugh.
Maybe that's if you trade Kovalenko's, maybe you win chips. Maybe that's I don't know. I'm just making stuff up at this point. That is all I had to touch on, Megan. Anything else you wanted to get to with prospects? All right. Awesome. We are going to get out of here for today's show. Make sure you like and subscribe here on YouTube, or you can always catch us on Spotify if you prefer the audio only version, or you don't catch us live, whatever works for you. We finally have a game day tomorrow, so should be fun. Going to enjoy that pregame and watch along. I'm pretty sure the Nuggets don't play. Yeah, the Nuggets play Thursday, so we'll have a watch along too. Come join us for all that good stuff tomorrow. Then we got you for the rest of the week too, so. Thank you, and we will talk to you on the next one. We all silly like the mayor.